Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right, George. Some real This Is 2026 content over at ESPN.com. Number one, standard top 100 players in college football. That time of the year. No question. This is where you really, though, start to see just cooking with gas. Keep in mind, this is ESPN's top 100 players. The second content item right below it, 2026 college football player rank, what our top 100 list got right and got wrong. Normally, the replies are to outside content, someone else's list, but no, to our own list. We've started the engagement ourselves.
Hold on. Did the same person write both?
No, the second was more of people that were included
that disagreed with maybe some of the consensus.
Correct.
What a world. Beautiful.
All right, here's the top 10. Number 10, Carter Smith, tackle, Indiana. Number 9, Jaden Maiva, quarterback, USC. Number 8, Julian Sayin, quarterback, Ohio State. Number 7, CJ Carr, quarterback, Notre Dame. Number 6, Kawan Lacy, running back, Ole Miss. Number 5, Trinidad Chambliss, quarterback, Ole Miss. Number 4, Malachi Toney, wide receiver, Miami.
Dog.
Number 3, Colin Simmons, edge, Texas. Number 2, Leonard Moore, corner, Notre Dame. Number 1, Jeremiah Smith, wide receiver, Ohio State.
There are some interesting names that are not there in the top 10.
So, if you were noticing, everyone's number 2 pick, Dante Moore, not included in the top 10. In fact, Dante Moore was the 5th ranked quarterback.
5th?
Correct. Trinidad?
Oh, that's right, because I somehow forgot Maiva was in there.
Trinidad, CJ Carr, Julian Sayin, Jaden Maiva, Dante Moore.
At 11.
11. Arch Manning, I believe at 13.
Yes.
Darian Mensah, I want to say he checked in the 20s. I'm trying to do this from memory. Yes. I want to say maybe like 23, 26, something like that.
Mensah at 23.
23. Gunnar Stockton, I think he was also in the 20s, maybe early 30s, maybe like 30, 31.
Stockton is at 31.
And I think Mestemaker was right behind him at 32.
Yep.
Sam Levitt was a little bit later.
Levitt at 37.
37. Jaron Chiave, Sangapalatelli, like 46, if I recall.
46, correct.
Josh Hoover was in, I want to say the 60s. Maybe the 50s. 55.
I was going to say 60s feels really low.
Damon Williams was close to Hoover, maybe like 61-ish.
Damon is at 64.
CJ Bailey. I want to say he was in the 70s.
68.
Okay. Kevin Jennings.
Still scrolling. Oh, 73.
73. Noah Fifita.
Still going. Still going. 81.
Byron Brown. I think he was
does
pretty close.
Does that feel low for Fifita?
Well, there's one name that so the Byron Brown and John Mateer round out the ones that are ranked.
88 and 89, respectively. Brown to Mateer.
So here's the thing. If you would make the statement, Dante Moore is the fifth best quarterback in college football, I'd sit there and go, yeah. Okay. Like, to me, that's like plus or minus a couple, but whatever. Sure.
Yeah.
What drives me insane is there's no proof yet that he's an unstoppable force.
Right.
And the blanket, this guy would be the number one pick, all that's what drives me insane, because there's no evidence to suggest that. But if you come in, it's the hyperbole, I think, that drives us insane. So I actually thought the name that surprised me the most is actually a name that's not there. I would have thought Devin Dampierre would have been in the top 100.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Also, I do kind of like how this list, by putting it Josh Hoover at 55, 54, wherever it was,
mm-hmm.
that is the classic, we are putting him up higher just because we don't want to get Mendoza'd again.
yeah, that's... Feels about
fringe
right.
Top 10, like, yeah, we're going to do that. So the ones that stick out to me, I still think we need to put more of a hold on Drew Mestemaker. I think definitely the makings are there to earn it. I'm curious, but I don't think he deserves to be near the top of the list this soon when we haven't seen at this level.
Because not a single snap in the Power Four yet.
This isn't even pure American shade. They played a god-awful schedule even by American standards. So I need to see a little bit more. The ones that surprised me are actually guys that I'm kind of investors in. So, I like CJ Bailey, but I like CJ Bailey as an undervalued asset. Do I like CJ Bailey in the clear top quarter of college football? I don't know. Because the other thing about, in fairness to CJ Bailey's at a place where any weapon he gets winds up somewhere else.
Right.
And then it becomes quite difficult. I was also wondering this. Did the transfer portal market inflate Sam Leavitt? Because the Sam Leavitt life cycle looks like this. Transfers out of Michigan State to go play at Arizona State. And initially, if you watched Arizona State early, and even Dillingham said as much, it was a, let's bring him along.
Yep.
And slowly added to the plate. And by the end of the year, he was playing phenomenal football. Oh, by the way, NFL running back and an NFL receiver. Last year, loss of talent, but still
a good squad.
Some pieces around him.
Also NFL receiver on the roster.
did not have a good year and then got hurt.
Right.
I mean, George, I need to look it up. Maybe it wound up in the second half, becoming not as quite. He was god-awful in that Mississippi State game. I mean, at one point, I think he had like 75 yards passing.
Let's take a look. In that game, he was 10 of 22 for 82 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Or, excuse me, two picks.
All right, I wanted to look at game logs.
I have his game log from last season pulled up.
All right, so last year, Northern Arizona, he completed 64% of his passes for 257 yards, two scores, and a pick. I have him with two interceptions in the state game.
Yes.
I have him at 10 for 22 for 82 yards, one score, two picks.
Yep.
An EPA of minus 0.07.
Not great.
Texas State, 15 out of 25 for 188 yards, two scores, no interceptions. Baylor, 22 of 32 for 221, one score, no interceptions. TCU, 27 out of 39 for 291 yards. First time, second time he clipped 7 yards in an attempt. Two scores, no interceptions. Also brought them back late. Also a head-to-head win, I guess you'd say, against Josh Hoover. That was also an unbelievable TCU collapse. Got hurt in that game, didn't play against Utah. Texas Tech, 28 of 47, 319, one score, no interceptions. Best game of the year, also against a quality defense.
True.
Hammond was on the other side playing for Baron Morton, but not many people put up 26 offensive points on that defense. Houston, 18 of 35 for 270 yards, one score, no interceptions, and then he did not play the rest of the year. So, by all accounts, not a dreadful season?
No.
But there's nothing that you would say, put this guy
top 40 in all of college football.
Correct. But what I'm wondering is, if everyone's looking at the market, because Leavitt was clearly one of the most desired quarterbacks in the market. And did that change everyone?
I think you could certainly make that argument. I will add, to me, what was the most alarming stat. Now, this very well could have just been the situation, what was going on at Arizona State with, you know, as we mentioned, the loss of talent from, you know, year to year. In 2024, the entire season of 2024, Leavitt was sacked 19 times. In his, how many games is this?
He has played 20 games, or 24 games.
Seven. Seven games last season. He was sacked 19 times.
He's been sacked 42 times in 24 games. So you can quickly do the math on that. He basically gets sacked twice a game.
Right.
At least.
At least. I mean, there are a couple fours in there from last season.
Now, he's not been incredibly turnover prone.
That's true. But at the same time, when we're talking about a quarterback that already has this much, you know, tread off the tires, does not tend to avoid the sack all that well in a new offense with a new team with a rebuilt offensive line, you could certainly make the argument, hey, it might not look great for a decent period of time at the beginning of the season.
I do also wonder, if you rank Jaron Chiave Sangapolitelli, where you do, if you rank him as a top 50 player, are you saying we believe by the end of the year that he's a top 50 player? Or are you saying entering the year you have no doubt he's a top 50 player? That is a question I'd like. Because if you're projecting, I can get there.
Right.
But if you're saying based on what you've seen, he's a top 50 player, I would say he has top 50 moments.
This does not appear to be a projection. the last line of the header for the article. But for now, here's how we're ranking the best of the best in college football entering the 2026 season.
Okay, I guess this is how I'd look at it. And I do acknowledge this is...
not necessarily...
opinion. Okay, but I was thinking about this. A quarterback you and I both like.
Yep.
On a team that, honestly, I don't love. But a quarterback that I like. And honestly, a play caller and an offensive coach that I do like. Damond Williams.
Yep.
Who is the first... who's the first player that you... when I name somebody that you'd rather have than Damond Williams, say yes.
Okay.
Trinidad.
Yes.
CJ Carr.
Yes.
Julian Sayin.
Yes.
Jaden Maiva.
Yes. Closer, but yes.
Dante Moore.
For now, with what we've seen, I'm saying yes.
I totally agree with you on those. Arch.
Yes.
Darian Mensah.
Yes. I'm a big Mensah guy.
This is weird. I feel yes on Mensah. I kind of need to see something early from Arch because the numbers got improved.
Right.
He still misses a ton of throws.
I absolutely agree.
And I'm talking...
the easy ones.
Correct.
The bubble layups. The short crossers.
Wide open guy running free. Don't have to be that accurate. You just got to throw it near him.
Here's my thing with Arch.
I'm willing to say that there's enough other issues around him that they addressed. I do think they did a bad job. You had Arch Manning. You knew you needed to protect Arch Manning. They, for whatever reason, chose to not spend the money around that.
Totally fair. I am willing to look at the improvement over the course of the season and think he gets off on a better foot this year.
Yeah, because I do struggle, though, with that. On the one hand, part of the improvement was the lightening of the schedule.
Yep. Fair.
But there were also the San Jose State games. Like, there are games against other competition where he looked horrific.
Very
true. It wasn't just the Ohio State game. If you watched the San Jose State game...
It was rough.
And then when he got into the FCS game and he, like, did the Superman chest on a running play, that was when you're like, oh, boy.
Here we go.
He's having to, like, pump himself up, which is not great. I'd rather have Damond Williams than Drew Mestemaker. And I think I'd rather have Damond than Gunnar Stockton. I am also willing to acknowledge Gunnar Stockton is... going to be college Bo Nix for me, where I don't believe, and the guy's just winning.
I think that's fair. For sure with Mestemaker, we just haven't seen it. There is zero record.
Correct. I'd rather have Damond Williams than Sam Lovett. Now, I guess that's the other thing.
So did LSU. Right.
Would you rather have Damond Williams or Jaren Chiave Sangapalotelli?
If we're projecting out what I think these guys will be, probably JKS.
I don't think even though they're roughly about same number of snaps, I mean, I think Damond got a little bit at the end of
not last year, but the year prior.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because they did kind of turn to him like... I don't know how much room for improvement Damond has.
So in 2024, Damond had, let's see, 105 pass attempts.
Okay.
So
about a fourth of a season.
Right. So a full quarter season more than JKS. for this year, I would go DeMond. If we're going a little bit longer term, I'd probably go JKS.
It's like JKS has the body that could hold up.
For sure.
But there's also this reality. I think we also are still kind of in a world where these guys take giant leaps.
Right.
And even though there are examples of guys taking giant leaps, usually it's situational more than it is.
They're playing so much better.
Correct. I do think JKS's mistakes can be coached out of him. But I also don't know that that's a guarantee. Like, sometimes guys have been playing RPO-style football, and they're just trained to one, two, throw.
Yep.
And they don't ever account for the defense can adjust.
Yep.
And a lot of his mistakes are that. But he is undeniably gifted.
Well, he was a true freshman last
Correct.
Year. I mean, he's going into a true sophomore season.
Now, if you're asking me who do I believe can put a better team around their quarterback, I think that's undoubtedly Washington.
Zero doubt in my mind.
And so does that need to factor in?
For the JKS, conversation, yeah.
All right, and then I think the other question is, it's a question we've been struggling with. But do we need to reevaluate John Mateer?
In what sense?
Has the market gone too low on John Mateer?
Mm.
I will also openly admit this.
89 is really low for a guy that we've seen play at some really high heights.
I don't love adding beach muscles. If you would have said he's 89th, but I wouldn't seen all the pictures of him just doing curls for the girls and beefing the biceps up. Guys, name me an elite thrower that looked like that. Because all that I look and I see that is Brady Quinn, y'all.
I'm trying to think of any yoked quarterbacks. I'm talking, mind you, good ones.
No, like,
there've been some.
And by the way, and I want throwers.
Oh yeah, I'm. You know, we're not talking. I don't think I have one for you.
I don't feel like it's getting discussed.
They're running the triple option this year?
Well, also though, it's like I like the mindset. I didn't like the product.
Sure.
The mindset was I got to put on weight. But basically what that is like, huh?
I'm gonna look good doing it.
Exactly. Or how about this? Instead of sculpting the guns, how about we learn to throw on time? How about maybe we learn to read it out properly?
How dare you? How dare you?
You can also slide. Another option.
Well, not if you're bulking up like that.
Correct.
Not a slide in sight.
Also, the other college football news. This one I thought it's from Front Office Sports. ESPN's getting rid of the bottom line ticker during college football games, the network confirmed to Front Office Sports. As it has already done away with for the college football playoff games and other big events like the NBA and NHL postseason contests, ESPN will not feature the ticker for regular season games that air on ABC, ACC Network, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN News, and SEC Network. So if you're sitting there going, how are we going to know what the score is? No. They're not getting rid of that.
No,
they're getting rid of the crawl.
Yeah.
That tells you the scores of other games.
They're not dropping the score bug. They're getting rid of the ticker.
I'm woke on this. I understand they control a huge portion of the market, and so you would likely be flipping from one game to another game on the family of networks, but I 100% think it's designed to keep you where you are. Because
yeah,
if you're watching said game, and let's just say you see on the bottom line, hey, man, the game I'm watching kind of stinks. It's decided. But over on Fox, over on FS1, over on CBS, over on NBC, they got a banger.
Let's flip over there.
Correct. Now, I also acknowledge there are other ways to discover said scores. But I also think about TV viewing habits. Sometimes you don't want to just be glued to your phone. And then you see on the bottom line, oh, this is a good game. Let me flip over and check in on that. Or there's another thing going on in the wonderful world of college football. The commercial breaks are 4.5 minutes. They don't want you aware that you can flip to another game.
That might be a little bit better.
And get stuck.
It's true.
I don't think this is about cleaner presentation.
No, neither do I. Which, look, I don't know if this is just me. I'm a little disappointed by that. I like having the ticker because, at the very least, it's not only other college football things.
No, it's other scores from other sports. But also, what are those other sports that are running concurrently? Most of them are not on the family of networks.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, man, I got to get my baseball fix. Y'all know that by now.
Right. Where's the majority of the postseason on?
Fox.
And Turner.
We have a commitment.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen this commitment?
No.
It's a college quarterback.
A high school?
No.
What is this commitment?
One Thomas Castellanos.
Well, he might also be a receiver.
What?
Yeah, no, he's been, he said he is willing to be athlete.
Hold on. Okay.
Okay, can I guess?
Yeah, take a kick at this can.
Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech.
All right, so there is the possibility of what are they adding him at? I keep coming back to, I know it might not matter in the league. No matter how many times Texas Tech tells me that they are comfortable with Will Hammond, they continue to exert behavior that says the opposite.
As Pete Nakos adds, Castellanos will arrive at Texas Tech as Will Hammond's backup.
Now,
for how long?
Well, you could also make that argument that they got to get through a couple of bye games early.
Yep.
And rather than rush Will Hammond back, we've got someone that can drive the bus enough.
Fair.
Because there's no way he gets there and learns the full playbook within,
was that 2 weeks?
Right, but does he learn the playbook enough to beat, I think they have Abilene.
Oh, it's
I mean, it's a murderer's row of how many points can they score. Like, does he learn enough to where, hey, they go, this is in the headset, this is the RPO to the right?
I want to check it real quick just to see. Yeah, Abilene, Oregon State, and then week three they play Houston on a Friday.
Like, could you talk me into, he is the bus driver to make sure that they get to week three without Will Hammond
re-injuring himself?
Correct. I can buy that.
Oh, easily. And then even if, let's just say, Hammond isn't ready for Houston, it's a ranked team. You don't want to take a loss in conference. Get that. But then you've got two more easy slate games in Sam Houston and Colorado. Okay, if we need to wait out for Hammond to get to Arizona State, I think they'd be willing to do that.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Jonah Dillon over at the Commercial Appeal has made his season prediction for Tiger football. He's also got a story about how Kevin Decker wound up as the offensive coordinator for the University of Memphis. We'll talk about that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, George, over at CommercialAppeal.com, Jonah Dillon has made his predictions for the first year under Charles Huff. He has made his prediction for this Saturday's game, as well as the remaining 11. Memphis at UNLV, he writes, expect a shootout, although there's uncertainty at the quarterback position on both sides. These teams are positioned to score a lot of points in 2026. He thinks that the Rebels ultimately eke out a win on the field with a late field goal, UNLV 38-35. Also, quick research. Charles Huff, as a head coach, 22 games as an underdog, does have 9 outright wins. At Marshall, when the spread was 5 points or fewer and he was an underdog, his teams were 6, let's see, he had 6 outright wins. So he went 6-5 outright. So,
it's a good clip.
Decent underdog coach. He predicts Memphis 31-24 over Arkansas State, 1-1. The Boise game. Thinks it becomes a little bit more low scoring. He gives Boise the edge 27-21. They would be 1-2. 42-20 win over UT Martin evens the record at 2-2. A 38-17 win at Charlotte makes the Tigers 3-1. A 42-14 win against UAB at home, 5-2. He has Memphis with a narrow win, 28-27 over Tulane. 5-2, correct?
Still just the 2 losses.
Does have Memphis losing to East Carolina.
Is that a...
It's a home game. Hmm. That is a... I want to say that's one of the...
Is that one of the weird, like, mid-weeks, short weeks?
Midweeks. 22nd. I want to say it's a Friday night.
Weird.
31-27, 5-3, correct?
Yep.
He has Memphis knocking off Army at home, 20-13, 6-3. He has Memphis winning a shootout at South Florida, 7-3. He has Memphis dropping a home game to Navy, 7-4. And then he has Memphis winning 41-21 over Temple for an 8-4 season. And that gets us right back to how we started the show. Will the Tigers be better? Because this is what The Athletic wrote at the beginning of the day. Will the Tigers be better? Memphis has been one of the most consistent group of 6 programs over the past decade, but the Tigers have not won a conference title since 2019. This is why they think they'll be better. First-year head coach Charles Huff was hired away from Southern Miss, taking over after 6 seasons for Ryan Silverfield. Huff, who brought in 50-plus transfers this season, has one of the better-funded G6 rosters in the country, with at least $7 million in revenue sharing and likely some NIL on top of that. Memphis is on the list of programs that should contend for the G6 playoff spot. So this kind of gets back to the original question and why I made the decision to sell it. I think the most likely outcome is a Eye of the Beholder.
Right. What do you consider as better?
I think it's entirely possible Memphis is a better team with the exact same record, which would be 8-4.
Which is exactly what Jonah put out.
Now, maybe I am falling victim to the vibes. I kind of think they're going to go get a win Saturday.
I think I'm with you. The vibes do seem very, very good.
I really contend Ryan did not elevate this program. And that is a no duh. This job is better than the outside forces think of it. Does that mean that you are an SEC program? No. But UNLV's having money problems.
Yeah.
If you're asking me which team do I think has the better funded roster, which is not obviously the be-all, end-all.
Sure.
It's one game. But I really do think that they're going to have the best player on the field. And I think that they are going to move the ball pretty well. Because the UNLV answer for all their defensive issues is,
well,
we've got the same guys, but we're better coached. More times than not, you defense in particular.
You got to have dudes.
You got to have the guys.
You got to have the horses.
The bodies. That's what matters. I think they're going to be, by G6 standards, pretty solid on defense, and I think that they're going to move the ball. Which brings us to the other story that Jonah has over at commercialappeal.com about Kevin Decker. So Kevin Decker comes from the New Hampshire Mafia. The New Hampshire Mafia, of course, includes Ryan Day, Chip Kelly, a lot of coaches that you've heard of, including back former offensive coordinator Tim Kramsey, also from the New Hampshire Mafia. Back when Kramsey, who had played for, what was McDonald's first name? Sean McDonald, not McDonough. Sean McDonald, who's the legendary coach at New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Kramsey was a guy that he leaned on. And when his offensive coordinator position came open, he asked Tim Kramsey to give him three candidates to interview. One, according to Jonah, was the receivers coach for the Hartford Colonials of the UFL. The other was the offensive line coach at Ball State. And the third was the offensive line coach at Hampton. The receivers coach for the Hartford Colonials was Shane Waldron, now the pass game coordinator for the Jaguars. The offensive line coach at Ball State was Jason Eck.
Nice.
Now the head coach at New Mexico, going to be the darling of the probably the coaching cycle. The offensive line coach at Hampton was Charles Huff.
That's a list of guys right there.
Well, that's also like, I would say Kramsey might need to be in the agency business.
Yeah, that's what that's he might make a little more money. Bet you could get some decent commission off those guys.
So the fun story is how a trick play called Cuckoo put him on the mark. Decker's first coaching job was at alma mater, Brunswick. Jarrett Shine had been the offensive coordinator when Decker was a player, and he had since been promoted to the head coach. He hired Decker, who helped turn the Bruins season around in a single season. By then, Tim Kramsey was the offensive coordinator at Montana State, and he offered Decker an analyst job. But the headmaster at Brunswick, his high school, doubled Decker's salary, so he stayed another year. Then Decker got national attention when Brunswick won a game called game against Salisbury with a wild trick play he called Cuckoo. Down by 1 point with less than a minute on the clock, the Bruins executed a play that includes so many misdirections that it's even hard to describe. Quote, we've been practicing the play the entire season, and it never worked. It's always the best trick plays. Always the best. They never, ever work in practice, and you pray to God that they work in the game.
They never work until they do.
At the time, Decker told the media that he learned it at New Hampshire. McDonald said he remembered it, but he had no idea where the name Cuckoo came from. Regardless, it worked. Brunswick won, and a highlight of the play ended up everywhere. You can also see it linked in Jonah's story. Decker did eventually leave Brunswick for Montana State after that season. From there, he went to Brown, where he became the offensive coordinator in 2018, and then he joined a former coach at Fordham in 2019. For those that also are not sprucing up on their FCS scheme leaders, Fordham, Ivy League, like this is where everybody's turning.
Yep.
Like those are the guys that they're looking at. Sorry, Mississippi State fans. Once upon a time, Joe Moorhead, like they made the hay at Fordham. FCS teams did not play during the 2020 fall season because of the pandemic, and Decker spent that time studying Josh Heupel's offense, convincing himself throughout the fall that they should run it at Fordham. He had backup David Weeks, who had later followed Decker to Old Dominion, and Memphis. He had been an assistant under Heupel. Decker and Weeks approached Conlin to pitch him on changing the Rams' offense. At first, he's like, you guys are out of your mind. And I think there was some sort of knockdown, inter-office brawls about it, and then I calmed down. Conlin eventually agreed to let them try it out in a scrimmage. It went horribly, with the defense dominating the day. Decker then went into Conlin's office and told him he was ready to give it up, but Conlin told him to keep trying it. I believed in him, he said, and I got what they were trying to do. Fordham then played Nebraska to open the 2021 season, and though the Rams got blown out, Conlin noticed during the game that the man-blocking scheme was holding up surprisingly well against the level of physicality Fordham would never see at the FCS level, so much so that he went over to Decker on the sideline to tell him he'd been right. He was kind of laughing, and we went back at it. I think they're going to score some points. Again,
yeah. We could be wrong.
We could be back on Monday talking about vibes were better than the reality.
But I don't know that that's going to be the case.
I also, and maybe this is Huff's, maybe this is his saying, this is what I need to project. But more times than not, if you pay close enough attention to a coach, you can kind of figure out if they think their team's good. Now, that can also go the other way. I covered the Ole Miss 2016 team. They left camp heading to play Florida State in Orlando thinking that they were going to win a national championship.
Oh, that game, don't remind me.
Offensively, that team was phenomenal. The problem was the reason why they thought that is because their offense scored at will on defense, which, by the way, everyone else did too.
I am well aware. I was in the stands
Correct.
In that game playing an instrument.
That team went 5-7.
Sure did.
It can go, like, because at the time, like, the reality is you're not scrimmaging anybody. You're scrimmaging yourself.
Right.
So
if one unit is just completely killing the other one, you might have some issues.
And oftentimes what happens is whichever unit the head coach oftentimes associates himself with, if that unit looks good, those are the times to pay attention, because oftentimes you can have defensive coach that feels good about the defense, and the defense might be good. They couldn't score any points. Or offensive coach feels good because the offense can score, but they can't stop anybody. Those are the ones to watch. But Charles Huff carries himself like a man that thinks his team's pretty good. I also, even though he's got more of an offensive side of the ball, I view him more, though, as holistic program manager.
Yep.
CEO. And I think he recognizes you can't just be good on one side of the ball. See, best player being on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers, and someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, George, today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. Todd Monken's been having to do a lot of storytelling. I kind of feel bad for him.
At this point.
Asked about Shadur. I'm excited about the long game for him.
Sure do, buddy.
Toss up. Who starts more games for the Browns? Deshaun Watson or Shadur Sanders?
Shadur.
I think I agree too.
Deshaun just looks brutal.
Does Deshaun start the first home game?
That's all we got into yesterday. I have no idea.
I do. I agree with you. I think Shadur starts more games. I want to thank Steve Cofield for being with us. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. Also, I thank, of course, to Coach for being with us the first half of the program. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.